Now let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we praise you this morning, that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and out of the abundance of thine heart, O God, thou hast spoken. Thou hast spoken in thy Son, and thy word declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and gave his Son to be the satisfaction, the propitiation for our sins. Now we ask as we look into thy precious word that thou wilt indeed speak to each of our hearts. We would use the language of Samuel of old when he said, speak, for thy servant heareth, and in speaking to my heart, speak to the hearts of all who are gathered, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're working out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're reading verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. We're dealing with the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 6 this morning, the fourth of the Beatitudes. And we must keep in mind, as we consider these Beatitudes, that they were candidly spoken by our Lord, and that they are birthmarks by which the inhabitants of God's kingdom are identified. If you're in the kingdom of God by divine grace, these are the birthmarks of the children of God. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here in this fourth beatitude, we see that it is linked with the first three. For in the first, we witness the heart attitude, an exercise of the person who has been awakened by the Spirit of God. When we come to Christ for salvation, we must first of all be awakened by the Spirit of God as to our need. It is lost people who trust Christ. And as lost sinners, we come and receive the Savior. So in the first of these Beatitudes, there is a sense of need and a realization of our nothingness and our own emptiness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then in the second, there is a judging of self, a consciousness of our guilt, and a sorrowing over our lost condition. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then in the third, there is an end of seeking to justify ourselves before God. There is an abandonment of all pretenses to personal merit. It is a taking of our place in the dust before God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now we see in this fourth beatitude a longing for that and that alone which will meet our need, divine righteousness. And it is available, and we have the blessed promise. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here we find a longing for that which we realize will meet our need, and we know that the only thing that will is the righteousness that is required by God. Now let us consider for a moment righteousness as it was used in the Old Testament, and also as it is used in the New. The people to whom our Lord speaks did not have the New Testament. It was not yet written. All they had was the Old Testament. Therefore, when our Lord said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, we must keep in mind what the Old Testament had to say concerning righteousness. And in the Old Testament, righteousness was synonymous with salvation. And in the New Testament, the great work on divine righteousness is the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, the thought is justification to be declared righteous by God. Therefore, the justified man is a saved man, and the saved man is a justified man. Now, in order to show you that this is the same way in which the Old Testament treats the doctrine of divine righteousness, let me quote a few verses of Scripture to you. I'll tell you where they are, and you may jot them down and check on it when you get home. Isaiah 45, verse 8, God says, "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." Here we see in that verse, Isaiah 45, verse 8, righteousness and salvation are synonymous. To be saved means that God has declared us righteous because of the work of Calvary's cross. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isaiah 46, verses 12 and 13, we read these words, "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion." I love that text, by the way. God says, my salvation isn't far away. My righteousness is near. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. But I like verse 12 of Romans 10. It says, "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the riches of God are manifested in the righteousness which he says, "Oh, it's so near, call upon me." Oh, what a passage. But more than that, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 5 says, "My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust." God says, my salvation is near. My righteousness is at hand. And so you see the connection between righteousness and salvation. Finally, oh, I love this verse, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. I'm not going to quote the whole verse, but out of the middle of the verse, I'm taking these words. "He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness." What a text. What a text. Righteousness and salvation are synonymous in the Old Testament. Now that brings us to the meaning of righteousness. In the first three of the Beatitudes, we see our need before a holy God. And they who see themselves as poor in spirit, and they who mourn over their lost condition, who know what genuine conviction of sin is, and they who see and they no longer have any pretense before God, they're open and transparent before God as the meek are. Blessed are the meek. Then they who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What is the meaning of righteousness? In other words, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, as this fourth beatitude states, is to yearn after God's favor, to desire his image to be manifested in the life, and to know the blessing that only he can give. Righteousness in the New Testament, friends, is a term that denotes all spiritual blessing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Here's a verse that a lot of people sing. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, in that context, he says, don't fret, don't worry
Don't be concerned concerning what you're going to wear, or what you're going to eat, or how you're going to live. He said, you don't need to worry about those things. He said, look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, wasn't arrayed like one of these. And it's in that context he says, here's the way out. Seek ye first. And first means priority. Make this number one priority in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. So righteousness in the New Testament is a term denoting all the spiritual blessings that are available to us in Christ Jesus. But when we come in particular to this text, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here the term righteousness is equal to the expression in the book of Romans, chapter 10, where it speaks of the righteousness of faith, whereby the sinner is freely justified by the grace of God because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross on Calvary's hill. Here, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here the word righteousness has reference to that obedience of Christ that is imputed to the sinner when he believes. And to impute means to place to the account. You see, I'm aware of the four Protestant nuns in the New Testament, Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Here are the four Protestant nuns. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Here are four nuns. And they describe each one of us. There is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Therefore, we are not righteous before God, but unrighteous. And that is my condition by nature. And that is why those first three Beatitudes are so important. When once I see that, blessed are the poor in spirit, I have nothing that I can offer to God. Blessed are they that mourn, and we should mourn over the fact, friends, that we aren't righteous, that we do not do good, and that we do not by nature seek after God. And when we are through with all our pretenses, we simply, oh, that I knew, as Job said, where I might find him. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is a righteousness of faith. This speaks of the perfection of Christ that he takes and he places to the account of the sinner that comes and believes on him. Romans 4, verse 5, oh, what a text. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Who does God justify? To justify is to declare righteous. To justify is to take the perfections of Christ and place them to our account. And that obedience of Christ that he offered to God is now felt, because God has placed it to my account that day that I believe. I don't know if that gets you excited, but I tell you it does me. I have imputed righteousness, and the very righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to my account. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, while there are those four nuns that declare us unrighteous, there are none righteous, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, there is none that doeth good. Oh, let me tell you, friends, there is a perfect righteousness available this morning to everyone that believes. It's available. Do you have a hunger for it? Do you want it? Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But now notice, while this is a righteousness that is imputed to the sinner, there is another inward and sanctifying righteousness that is also ours, and that we continually hunger and thirst for after we're saved. Justification and sanctification are never separated in the Word of God. The person who is justified goes on in the process of sanctification, living for God. Now notice what our text says. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now let me change the words and quote it wrong. Blessed are they that hungered 20 years ago for righteousness. It doesn't say that. Blessed are they that hungered 5 years ago. It doesn't say that either. It is a present, continuous text. The tense of the verb is present, continuous. It is blessed are they that do hunger. Do you have a hunger this morning for righteousness? This is what is known not as imputed righteousness. That was placed to our account when we believed. But the imparted righteousness of Christ, which becomes a very part of us as we live for God in this world. And to hunger and thirst after that imparted righteousness of Christ is to long for a restoration of the image of God in us. Oh, to live for Him day by day. T.O. Chisholm, the man who wrote that hymn on the faithfulness of God, he wrote a number of hymns, and one of them is, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer." I tell you something, if that were in our hymn book, we'd be singing it, because we'd often sing it as a closing hymn. I'll guarantee you that. "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, just as thou art, just as I am, and pure as thou art. Come in thy fullness, come in thy power, stamp thine own image deep on my heart." Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, may I just simply ask you a question? Do you know Him of whom it is written, "The Lord, our righteousness"? Now, we can go a step further. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness has been the experience of all the saints of God. All you need to do is read the life of William Carey, read the life of Livingston, read the life of Hudson Taylor, or look at the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." That's hungering for righteousness, friend. When you look at verse 14 of Philippians 3, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's hungering for righteousness. Oh, this has been the experience of all the saints. Is it yours? Is it yours? Oh, this is a verse that lets me know whether I'm really the Lord's or not. This is a great assurance verse. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That brings me to the second part this morning. The blessing of those who hunger and thirst. It says, they shall be filled. The blessing of being filled. And if we miss this, we miss it all. You see, there is a double fulfillment here. There is an initial fulfillment. That's when we come to Christ and are saved. And there's a continuous fulfillment. That which we enjoy every day as the children of God. Let me say this. When God creates a hunger and a thirst in the soul, He does it in order that He may satisfy it. That's why He does it. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, the prophet said, come ye to the waters, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Does it cost anything? He said, just come. Just come. In John chapter 7, verse 39, our Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Come. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Think of this. They shall be filled with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh, do you need peace this morning? Peace of heart. Peace of heart. Oh, the peace of God which passes all understanding fills the heart and mind of those who are in Christ Jesus. More than that, it is filled with the divine blessing that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The Word of God says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And it hath no sorrow. And we're filled with that. By hungering and thirsting for righteousness. More than that, we are filled with praise and thanksgiving unto Him who hath wrought all our works in us. Who created the hunger? He did. Who provides the blessing for its fulfillment? He does. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But more than that, we are filled with that which the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. Oh, what a blessing. Here's something the world knows nothing about. This is for only those who have been saved by the blood of the crucified one. We're filled with the goodness and mercy of God until our cup runs over, as David said in Psalm 23. And more than that, we are filled with divine holiness. For we're looking for that glorious prospect. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And finally, friends, when we're done with sin forever, and we're at home with the Lord, the Scripture says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16, they shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. You see, friends, we shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you have it? I want to say three things in closing. This fourth beatitude can be a source of real comfort to each one of us. You may be here this morning and you say, oh, my faith is so weak. And there are those among God's children, friends, and you're more conscious of your doubts and your failures and your distrust. And there are many times that you despair of the mercy of God. Some of God's children fall into this category. Remember, it's the Lord Himself who counts you blessed. He says, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst. And you may cry out from your heart, oh Lord, I have a thirst today. You can satisfy it. I come to you. But then you might be here and you may look at your life and you may say to yourself, but I see so few of the signs of the workings of divine grace. And I wonder sometimes whether grace is working at all in my life.
That may really characterize your inner man. So just remember what our text says, not what it doesn't say. Notice what our text doesn't say. It doesn't say, blessed are they who are full of righteousness. It doesn't say that. It says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you have that hunger? Do you have that thirst? To have the hunger and the thirst is what our text says. You're in a blessed position. For it is God who creates the hunger and the thirst, and He's the one who can fill it. Oh, what a comfort that is. When I read the life of a man like Hudson Taylor or William Carey, I bow my head before God in shame. But our text doesn't say, blessed are they that are full of righteousness. It says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for it. And I get some comfort here, friends. And so may you. Finally, you may feel this morning that you're in such a backslidden condition and that you're beyond hope. And Satan may come to you and say, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. You've gone beyond the limit. You might as well settle on that. You're hopeless. The Lord Jesus doesn't say that. The one who truly loves man, He doesn't say that. Our Lord says, blessed are they that do hunger. If you hunger, that means you want it. The hungry person knows what to do when there's food set in front of him. He takes it and he eats it. And the one whose soul hungers for God, for His righteousness, he can take and eat and be filled. Oh, there's comfort for you, my friend. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're living in a strange world. That word blessed means happy. Happy are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, here's a person who goes to the doctor with a very bad headache. What they want is relief. And they may want relief so badly that all they want is some medicine to get rid of the headache. They don't want the doctor, I'm in such a big hurry, I don't have time, doc, for you to examine my life. You see, it's far better to have the cause of the headache removed. If you can get rid of the cause of the headache, and that's what our Lord Jesus came to do. You see, the problem with man is a problem of the heart, the sin problem. Sin. And our Lord Jesus dealt with a sin problem at the cross. And the evidence that He settled it, God raised Him from the dead. And righteousness is available. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you have a hunger? Do you have a thirst? Do you enjoy the righteousness of faith? Before we sing, let's pray together. Our Father, we commend unto You Your word and this company of people. Thy word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we thank You for that creating a divine hunger and a divine thirst. And we thank You for the blessed truth that they who hunger and thirst are filled. Take the word now and bless it to each heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. I think we should sing number 392, the first stanza only. 392, here's one everybody knows. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ. The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Here is divine righteousness that's real, and it's available. And our Lord says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let us stand and sing as Rick leads us.